What's the story, everyone? Welcome back to Gaelic Games Fan TV. How's everyone getting on? I'm joined here by Kevin Kennedy from the GA Sports Tracker app. We're obviously here to do the first of our season previews, obviously for the 2024 inter-county season. The inter-county football season is fast approaching. It's only 5 or 6 weeks away, as a matter of fact. Obviously, I think the second last week in January, I think, is when the National Football League is due to start. You've obviously got pre-season tournaments around the start of January as well. Hopefully between now and sort of the end of January, I'll try to do as many of these season previews as I can, get multiple different guests on from different counties to obviously discuss their county ahead of the inter-county season. And I'm joined by Antrim man, Kevin Kennedy, as I was saying, from the GA Sports Tracker app, who's obviously here to discuss Antrim, break down Antrim ahead of the 2024 season. So you're keeping well anyway, Kevin. Your life is going good and everything else, and excited for football to come back, county football to come back next year?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I know last year went down to first weekend, the first couple of days in January, Antrim were playing down in Armagh, and we went down to it in the Mechanic Cup. And, you know, previously at Mechanic Cup games, you wouldn't have got anybody out there, but there was over 4,000 there. So I think by the time the split season, obviously 2022, which is first year, I think over the winter, people got hungry for football again, and come a very cold night in January, people are looking forward to going down to it. So, I think, you know, the numbers are creeping up in the Mechanic Cup. I'm looking forward to getting there. But yeah, whenever it comes back into the county league and stuff, I think we'll always talk about it now. But it'd be good to see the county back. I know they have been training for the last few months anyway, getting ready for it.
Yeah, it was like that with the O'Byrne Cup as well, in Leinster as well, which is sort of surprising seeing attendances go up, because I think we sort of tend to have an attendance problem in general in Leinster, like when you look at the Leinster Championship. But the O'Byrne Cup as well, the attendances were going up quite a bit. Like, I know a lot of people have been calling for pre-season tournaments maybe to be scrapped and go all together. But I suppose, you said, the fans are turning up, and maybe it's good for the likes of Antrim's and whatnot to have pre-season tournaments.
Yeah, until last year, I would have said, like, they're pointless. You know, I would have went to a few of the games, but there were a chance for managers really just to try someone new who they hadn't tried before. And there wasn't, I wouldn't say, an awful lot of effort put into it. It's just Antrim or Antrim. You know, they're never going to do well on it. But I think last year, I watched a couple of the games and went, you know what, it's good to get county football back. You're paying about a 10 or a 5 or anything, whatever it might be. It's probably better than a challenge game. And as Mickey Hart says, it's just Tuesday there. If they didn't have them, they'd probably have challenge games anyway. You know, the only reason I'd see about getting rid of like the Mechanic Cup, the O'Byrne Cup, is to bring the leagues further into the early January, if they're worried about windows and, you know, time like that, which may come. You know, they're talking now around about the gap between the All-Ireland semi-finals and All-Ireland finals not being enough. The most logical thing there, rather than to extend them right out, would be to drop your preseason stuff. But yeah, look, I think now it's probably a different conversation than what it was 2 years ago. It's down to the change, a significant change in the split season.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, what's the mood generally like for football at the moment, hurling as well? Or I suppose, what's the general mood like for with Antrim, obviously, at the moment? Like, maybe looking at the footballers, first of all, obviously last year, suppose stayed up in Division 3, like Andy McEntee's first season. I think staying up in Division 3, I think most people would have said was a success in the end, considering I think most people at Antrim to get relegated. Obviously, Tailteann Cup semi-finals as well. Like, in the end, I suppose when you look at it was a fairly good season for Antrim and for Andy McEntee.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I didn't miss too many games last year. Went to a number of away games. I think Tipperary was the only one I didn't get to. I didn't go down to the last one, Longford, either. But I think things are good. You know, if you could have described Antrim in their league last year, as you say, you know, they were nearly relegated. They nearly get promoted. It was an absolutely bipolar league for them. You know, there was absolutely no consistency in their play. I remember going down to watch them in the first game against Offaly, and this probably sums them up. And at half time, talking to a few people in the club, saying, going to be a long year. Jesus, that's a bad team. By the end of that, in the second half, completely different team came out, and all of a sudden you're going, that's a good team. You know, but it's just, it was heads and tails. They bit by Offaly. They bit by Down after leading for a significant period of time. You only bit by a point. Then they go and beat Cavan, who had just been were promoted and were getting into the league final. And there was just that inconsistency throughout the league. But there was always, like, I watched Andy quite a bit, and he's always on the line, and his football, I took a lot from his football and what he was saying. I don't think the players were banned into it in the league. You know, there was a few players shooting back to him or giving off to him. But certainly by the time the Talisman Cup came around, they started to get consistency. And that was a key word for it. You know, like, the consistency got there. Even into the semi-final against Meath, under, you know, that brilliant first half, Mark Jordan was doing an awful lot of running. You know, Mark Lees was getting up the pitch as well. They were getting good scores, good opportunities. Could have had maybe a goal early on as well for it. And then the second half, they allowed me to come out for 10 minutes and Antrim just stood still and they weren't breaking the lines. And then they came back again. So it's just that, you know, up and down. And hopefully, you know, this year, Andy's got over his first year. Hopefully, boys will buy into what he's saying. Now, a year down the line, I think if Antrim got more consistent in their play, people would be enjoying Antrim football a lot more. This club scene isn't great in Antrim. You know, there's a lot going on behind the doors, behind the scenes in Antrim. But I think there's a real talent of players. If Andy can get that balance right, there's a real talent of players there. And he'll know them now a bit more than what he did last year.
Absolutely, yeah. Because the Andy McEntee appointment in general, I suppose, is one that definitely caught a lot of us by surprise at the time, especially when I remember when he was finishing up with me, I think he was saying that he was never going to manage anyone else. And then obviously the Antrim job came along and certainly sort of, the pull of going to Antrim was definitely there, I suppose. But it was an interesting one. I remember even speaking with obviously our good friend John McMahon, and I remember saying to him, I think we were both of the understanding that it didn't really make a lot of sense at the time, just because he'd been managing Meath where, from watching them quite closely, like, very attacking, like, love to play good football, good attacking football, taken over from Enda McGinley, which had been far more defensive. But I suppose at the same time, like, in the end, you'd have to say, like, it probably was a very smart appointment in the end. And as you said, for year one, Talisman Cup semi-final, staying up in Division 3, like, I think in terms of goals and objectives, I think both of them would have been boxed off.
Yeah, Duff, I mean, coming from the McGinley, you know, McGinley done what he had to do in terms of, only Antrim went down to Leitrim and got absolutely hammered. I think, you know, Enda just says, look, I've had enough here now, and I'm away. But Enda done what he had to do in order to get Antrim Division 4, which they couldn't get out of, up into Division 3. He had to rely on some old hands coming back. You know, Michael McCann had to come back into it, Paddy Cunningham had to come back into it, Tomás had to come back in. And you obviously, Michael McCann and Tomás McCann are the brother-in-laws of Enda. So if Enda wanted them, their sister just had to go and say, yo, lads, die in here, or else you're not getting anything for Christmas. But those lads done a good job to get them into Division 3. But whenever they were, Andy didn't have that same luxury. Andy had to rebuild as well. Andy had to get new players coming in, which is always tough. It's hard enough to come into an established team, or, you know, 90% established team, and look where you can add value. Andy came in with a void of players have now officially stepped back or is not committing. And did he have the best players in Antrim? No, he didn't. There's no point beating about the bush. The best players in Antrim were not playing for Antrim last year, but he had the best players available to him. You know, there was better players like in Cardin. Kevin O'Boyle could probably still do a job playing there. Michael McCann, definitely, you know, he's still as fresh as he was 5-6 years ago. Tomás, you only had to watch him in the championship. These are boys who still could do a job. Conor Murray left, who was an absolute ball winner for Antrim for many years. I'd love to see him back. But ultimately, he had a different task than just come in and bring them on. He had to rebuild them, and he done a fantastic job, in my opinion, for that. I would have liked to see him add a bit more to his backroom team this year. He has brought in Justin McMahon in there. Justin was in last year doing a wee bit with him, but he's in there now more of a permanent fixture to it. I would have liked him to see a bit more in the backroom team. Maybe he has and it's not there. I just don't think his backroom team done an awful lot for him from last year, and it seemed to be a lot of Andy driving stuff for it. And that's not critical of the boys who were in there. You know, Terry McCrudden's in there. He was part of the recruitment panel, I believe. But he went in, he's done a job, and he's went to all sorts of Antrim games to get into it. But yeah, I don't think Antrim can complain where they were, especially whenever you think the league was so topsy-turvy. And the only way is up now. You know, there's an expectation. I personally believe Antrim are on the cusp of promotion in Division 2, and there's a couple of reasons for that. But yeah, I mean, the way the club scene is at the minute, they're now talking that Antrim should be getting into the Attachment Cup semi-final, if not final, should be playing football to late into June now. So the club scene is changing based upon that. So there's definitely an expectation of them, the progress.
Yeah, do you think a part of the reason why Antrim done so well last year was maybe because there was no expectation, like there was no pressure in many ways. Like I suppose most people, especially from an outside point of view, probably didn't expect much of Antrim. Do you think that's maybe a reason as to why they performed as well as they did?
Well, I suppose if you're an insider looking in, it's probably saying that they did it. They overachieved as an insider. You see what talent is in Antrim and what potential there is there for players. So maybe there was different expectations and then different, obviously, results in the base upon that. Definitely the Telchian Cup, even how they performed against Meath in the semi-final was a massive improvement. And I was surprised by how well they done it. You know, you're almost disappointed that they didn't get through and didn't beat Meath. But that was based upon their league. You know, after the game against Armagh and the McKenna Cup and then the first game against Offaly, you're going, Jesus, this is going nowhere. And then all of a sudden, the expectation last year, let's face it, was for Down. The Conor Lovely effect to come in and for Down to really gain momentum and get promotion. And Antrim should have beat them in Newry, apart from your last mistake. Antrim were leading that game the full way. Same as Fermanagh. You know, Fermanagh get up in the Division 2, and Antrim should have beat them that day in Kerrigan Park. You know, apart from Quigley's, I still don't know how he scored it. It was a goal from absolutely nothing past 13 different men, and he scored it. So, yeah, it's hard to say what the expectation is. I think if you know Antrim football and you know what players are there, you're not surprised by them. You're just disappointed they are where they are, but you're full of optimism for where they could get to. We don't have brilliant underage teams. You know, we got beat last year by Tyrone by 40 points. We haven't done anything at minor level in a number of years. Even you know, over the last decades, we haven't really done anything. I think we had to get a minor final once, maybe almost 20 years ago, we got the minor final. Shamie O'Prey was looking off the team. Conor Murray was involved in that team again. And that's probably the only bit of underage success they've had. But if you had to watch them last year against Donegal in the Under-20 Championship again, maybe a bit more belief than what I got across the line. So that they're able to put performances in at underage. They just don't have the consistency to be doing it at leagues and then bringing in the Championship. I would like to see Andy Moore actually involved in an underage structure whereby they're like, right, we want to get, you know, in 3 or 4 years' time, this is the state of football. We want to be players to be adopting. And so the transition from under 20 into senior is a lot easier than just coming in and you're now a county, your expectation is you're a county senior.
Yeah, because I suppose we saw Mickey Hart when he was involved with Loud. He was obviously managing the under 20s as well and certainly had a big say there. So, yeah, I think that's definitely maybe something Andy could look at moving forward with Antrim. Like you were mentioning there in terms of not much underage and not much coming through and maybe for myself and for other fans, neutral fans, maybe from the outside looking in, I think maybe that's why I would have expected Antrim last season to get relegated personally from Division 3, just because of the fact that you were looking at some of the older players, as you mentioned, you know, obviously some of them slowing down, some of them retiring and the lack of underage from looking at results. But in fairness, like Andy's still finding players somewhere, and he's still clearly being able to introduce younger players. So I'd imagine that's still a positive in some ways. Like, yes, there mightn't be a huge amount of success at underage, but clearly there is talent in the county, no question about that.
There is talent in the county. There's just not enough connectedness in the county. You know, a lot of it falls in the schools as well. I think maybe some Maliki's are probably one of the only schools in Antrim at the minute playing A football. And their manager has basically says, look, they won't be at under, I think it was second year or last year. So they went in the A this year. They get beat the other day in some game, but they only get beat by like some Pats Armagh by 3 points. And I think there's a mentality whenever you're getting up into playing your Tyrones and your Armaghs at minor level or even under 16 level, you're hearing about your St. Pat's Mahara and your St. Pat's Armagh, your own with CBS competing for you know, Hogan Cups and everything else. You're going, you have them on a different pedestal straight away, and then you're maybe playing at a lot lower league or lot level. I would like to see more of a strategy built in Antrim in terms of, like, from our schools, we put them in the A football from first year, and, you know, from, you know, like a cut from next year, A football, you go in, you give it a rattle, and you start getting players that they're okay, they're getting bit by, you know, successful teams with a history, but it's really a first year. Do you know if you're an A team or a B team? You know, you likely don't. Second year, you probably still don't, because you're only going by, well, we are St. Mary's CBS and they're almost CBS, they're an A school, we're a B school. And that mentality is there. I would love to see Andy did get involved last year in terms of, he was always, Niall Jackman was the under 20 coach, and he was always on the phone to him. You know, they had a good communication up there. I would just like to see them a bit more of it. And I would like to see an Antrim strategy. Antrim don't have a development plan from what I know. We do have Gael Fass there, who unfortunately we lost Paul Donnelly from. He ended up, Paul PD was, you know, the best man in Ireland for that job. And he ended up taking up a post in Ulster University as a lecturer. But there's good opportunities there for improvement. And you see, like, Kevin Gamble and stuff at the minute. For years, Antrim's under 14 teams and under 16 teams would have had 20 players, 25 players. And that was your squad. That was your team. And if you're talking about ambition, if you're being told as a 14-year-old or a 15-year-old, you're not in Antrim's top 20 or 25 players, what's that going to do to you psychologically? What they've done now is extend that panel out to 50. You'll see it coming through on Twitter and stuff, where they have 50 hurlers under 14 and 50 footballers under 14. You know, that there to me is all about participation. That's getting more players coming through, and you're going to catch more that way. You might still get as many coming through. Ultimately, it might only be one or two of them at the start coming through to play senior football. But in years to come, they're going to be saying, look, I'm an Antrim at under 14. I'm an Antrim minor, or I'm an Antrim under 14, under 16, I can compete with the Armaghs under 14s and under 16s. There's not there at the minute.
Yeah, well, like, it's always been interesting with Antrim, because, like, obviously you look at the size of the population and everything else. And I remember speaking to Kevin McGurty, former Antrim footballer, last year, a little bit about this. Like, you're sort of looking at Antrim and the potential that's obviously there. You have Casement Park, which we're all expecting to get built at some stage. Well, it, you know, will it be built, or what the whole story is with that, we don't know. Like, I know it's scheduled in for, you know, the European Championship in a couple of years' time. Whether that happens, obviously, we don't know. But you do look at Antrim, and there is a lot of potential there. Like, I know, obviously, there's been a lot of political issues, obviously, you know, going back many years as to why maybe Antrim haven't sort of asserted themselves in Gaelic football or hurling. I know they've obviously improved quite dramatically in hurling the last sort of while, but you do look at Antrim, and I've often, you know, said to other people before, like, it definitely is a county with a lot of potential in either football and hurling if they can get their structures right. What do you think?
Yeah, well, the Casement will get built, and that's not coming from the Ulster Council. That's coming from people like Harry Connolly and Kevin Gamble, community people, Gaels, who are driving this forward. Casement will be built no matter what, you know, if it takes. If it's not built for the Euros, if we built that, there will be Casement there, but Casement won't be the solution. People, for most of the time, Casement will sit empty in terms of GAA, you know, games. Even at our, you know, a league game in Antrim, you're lucky if you got a couple hundred people to it. You know, there's no ambition really, unless you're moving into Cargan and Craig and local rivalries, and then you're getting people leaving the city to go up to these country places and watch that. So there's a lot going on. Antrim in Belfast, or Antrim as a county, is split almost into three. You know, you have your north county, where you have your Cushing Dolls, your Ballycastles, and on paper, Antrim have a lot of clubs, but there's only really one team in the north of Antrim who play football, and that's Dunloy. They play football and hurling. The rest of your Ballycastles, your Lochgills, your Cushing Dolls, they are solely hurling clubs. Then you have your southeast, or southwest, where you have your Cargans, your Craigans, your Port Glenone. With the exception of Craigan, they're all just football clubs. So straight away, where you have maybe Dublin have, you know, good hurling clubs, and Fianna, for example, good hurling club and good football, Kilmacud, you have double teams there. Andrew's a wee bit different. So you bring it into the city, And although Belfast is a big place, there's no teams in East Belfast. So that's one quarter of the city taken out straight away. Then North Belfast, realistically speaking, you have one senior football team. The other three teams, a big population, they're competing at junior level or lower intermediate level. All of Antrim football is focused really, and then South Belfast as well, you've only got some Malagies and some Braids. Again, the best part of three quarters of Belfast, taking away your political, your Catholic, your Protestant, this jazz, doesn't really get involved in GAA. It's all honed around about the West in terms of clubs. There will be players come in and play, you know, they're maybe live in South Belfast or live in East Belfast, they'll come in. But in terms of clubs, they're not there. And then clubs are actually competing with themselves an awful lot. I think Antrim has to be unique in the fact that we have one area that has three GAA pitches, three different clubs, and that is you have St. Paul's is attached to Rossa, and on the side of it, you have Sarsfields. So they have teams or players there who are competing with local communities to get new schools and stuff in. And they have struggled for participation from my own club, St. John's. I would have played for St. John's growing up. I don't think they had a minor team. And St. John's would be historically known as a big club. They haven't won a senior football championship in over 20 years, nearly 25 years.
Hmm.
But they didn't have a minor team at football or hurling level for 5, 6, 7 years. So a lot of people have taken their eye off the ball as a county, and they haven't actually started to get kids in and playing. Now, thankfully, that's coming about phase. You do have Gail Foster who went into schools and tried to get more kids involved. And it's still not enough. You know, it's still not enough to improve Antrim football. We have a fellow there as well, Michael Gerard Doherty. Michael is one of the he gets called to Kilkenny to go down and teach them how to, you know, their clubs invite him down to show them their kids how to do it. He goes to Cork, he goes to Galway. He's all over the place. He lives up in the Antietown Road somewhere, which is in the heart of West Belfast. And I haven't seen him deliver one workshop in Antrim. He gets pulled all over Ireland, but doesn't get asked to do anything in Antrim, or for whatever reason, it doesn't happen. And there still is very close rivalry in Antrim. You know, people will not share information. They're not talking to each other. I was actually looking on today on Twitter, and I love Dublin GPOs. It's staff development days. They're treated as a team who are fished out into these clubs to develop the clubs with the ultimate aim of building GAA and you get Morgan up into their senior level. I did put up a bit of a tweet yesterday just out of interest, high-level thinking. We have, thankfully, you know, the JP McManus £1 million coming. Yeah. I think that works out in Antrim, something around about 20, 25 grand per club. A club would probably take that off, pay a couple of electric bills, get their, you know, put it into their account, pay off some debt, and it will make a significant improvement into the club. 25 grand always would. But I think a lot better way of doing it would be to those city clubs where the issues sit, you know, the country clubs do really well because you actually play for your parish and things in there. It's not like that in the city. For them is to actually have, like, come together and say, look, where do we want to be in 3, 4, 5 years? Let's try this trial for 2 years. It would cost a club £6 grand a year. £500 a month isn't an awful lot of money for a GAA club to be given out if they're only getting a part-time worker involved. If someone came to work for me part-time for 500 quid, I'd bite their hand off. But for these people to be, you know, funded through this JP McManus fund, 50% and the other 25% from two different clubs. And this person will be coming in, looking at coaching within the clubs, looking at building capacity of parents to be taking, you know, your under sixes and under eights. Because I go to enough different clubs, watch my wee nephew, he's in a club just up the road here. We up to watch him on Sunday, Friday afternoon. 20 kids on the pitch and two coaches. You know, he's four, and the coaches were pulling their hair out, but their mummies and daddies were standing at the side. And no one's to blame for that. The mummy and daddy are probably standing back saying, I wouldn't know what to do. And the coaches are probably standing there going, Jesus, I love them to give me a hand, but I'm too busy to coach them what to do. So there's all this going on to it. I would love to see a better strategy put in place for them. No doubt the potential's there, but casement won't be the answer. You'll need to get your foundations right before you think casement's going to be packed with gales from Antrim.
Yeah, like, and why do you think those issues have happened ultimately then? Like, do you think it's lack of promotion, lack of marketing? I suppose, as you said before, like, because even in Dublin, for example, like you mentioned, obviously, like, the all the people who've gone into all the clubs, the games development officers, and obviously that was, you know, a significant part in obviously the sort of original steps of leading Dublin back to the, I suppose, being one of the dominant teams in the country. And obviously, I remember when we had a CEO, I think we have a new CEO obviously coming in now as well, with John Costolo, and he almost acted in many ways as like a sporting director in some ways of Dublin football and Dublin hurling, all codes. And it was perfect. Like, the structures were really, really strong. Is that something maybe Antrim could look towards, do you think? Just to sort of bring that unity maybe together a little bit?
Yeah, look, I think over the last... Antrim's, you know, it's had its own issues. I remember, you know, St. Paul's and Corrigan in the late 90s getting a bit of a brawl during the championship match. Both of them were kicked out of the championship, and then Corrigan boys didn't go back to play for Antrim for a long time. Sarsfield's had a fallout with Antrim as well. They were only starting to get back into it. So there's a lot of political stuff that's went on. We got to a point whereby the chairman before the previous one, Collie Dunley, and another fellow called Terry Reilly, they've sort of pulled together and called themselves, you know, the Antrim Forum, and they were coming with this vision of Antrim, or Antrim Vision, and they've done really well. They got Gael Fast in. They set up the Saffron Business Forum, which is now a body of local businesses and even, you know, regional businesses. They come along and they'll bring David Clifford up. They'll bring different personalities up to get and speak, talks at dinner every other month. People will pay into this, you know. So they've now got that set up really well. There's money coming into it. They've built, you know, a centre or a high performance centre up at Dunsilly that I haven't been up into it, but by all accounts, it's fantastic. The thing is, it's a few people who driving this. Young fella Tony Shivers in there, he was one of the driving forces behind that. You had Donald Murphy, who was just a treasurer, who's just gone now as well. Good people in there, but maybe being held back from it. I would love to see this Antrim, the Saffron Forum, you know, come together and say, look, I personally think Paul Donnelly used to work for Sport NI. He's now down in Jordanstown working for it. He's a great guy to get on with. I would love for them to go and tell him, come in, here's your money, we're going to match your wages down there or anything, but you have say of what happens here in Antrim. You are the person who's accountable. You're the sporting director of Antrim, and you're not being funded by Croke Park or Ulster Council or the Antrim Board to tell you what to do. We're employing you to look after Antrim football and where we want to be in the next 5 or 6 or 10 years. Because it was PD, who I first seen, expanded that. You know, you're under 14s from 20 out to 50. He knows what to know about. He goes all over the world coaching this sort of stuff of what to do. He's an absolutely fantastic guy. There's just maybe a bit of disjointedness to it. Politics plays an awful lot into it as well. The Gael Fast thing, you know, Gael Fast, whenever he left, it didn't fall apart, but it just didn't deliver. It hasn't delivered on what it should. There's still good people in there. You know, Sean McCann was a very good coach. He's now left it. But you still have Dean McCallion and Tom McCaffrey in there. They're still really good coaches who have a valuable part to play in Antrim. But that's not going in to take schools teams. That's actually coaching coaches. That's coming in saying to your St. John's parents and your St. John's. You know, I brought my wee girl up just on a Sunday, a Saturday, and they have kids run about, you know, young 15, 16 year olds, and they're really nice and good with the kids. They're trying their best for what they know, and they don't know enough. You know, at that age, it's about just getting them laughing and joking. Maybe you're lost at 10 minutes, and I'm away. You know, come on, let's go. And you're going to have to expect that. She is only a couple of years old, you know. She'll go back in 6 months, 9 months, but it's about capturing that and getting them through and getting that they are enjoying and getting numbers through. And there's just too much competitiveness and not enough joined up thinking. You know, even at senior football level, there's not enough talk that goes on. And what I mean by that, I don't expect them to come in and say, here's how we're going to play against you, or here's what way you're going to play against us. But even after like a season, for top people like John McKeever, like Ronan Devlin, who are the top two sort of in terms of Portland will win the league and Cargill win, then you have Hugh McGettigan, who knows everybody and their granny in Antrim football. For them is to sit down and do some sort of review and say, look, what do we think of the league? Is it Andy to be involved in that conversation as well, saying, are we making it enjoyable? Are we enjoying this type of football? Is there anything we can do to improve Antrim football going forward? There's just not enough forward thinking. There's just not enough forward thinking for the future. It's all about here and now and trying to deal with the hot fires, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. Gavin says here for 2024, with promotion to Division 2, getting to an Ulster final or winning the Tailteann Cup be the aims for Antrim. Maybe before we get into that, like, I suppose taking matters back to the pitch, like, have you heard of any changes, or how's the panel sort of looking going into next season?
Yeah, I've heard a few boys being pulled up into it. I think that if you look at sort of where Antrim were in their Ulster Championship against Armagh until their Tailteann Cup semi-final, there was even significant changes to that. There's been a few of them have done their ACLs, like Connor Stewart done his ACL, Ryan Murray had a bad injury last year, not sure whether it was ACL or not. Then you had one of the St. Braids fellas, Finnegan, had done his ACL as well. So that was all forced changes coming through. And at that time, Andy had brought some new blood in. You know, like Sir Connor Johnson from Corrigan was brought in last year. He came on in the Tailteann Cup semi-final. I think he's only 18, a talent for going forward, definitely. There's another young lad there, again, was in last year, Oisín Doherty from Port Glenown, came in towards the end of the season. And hopefully he gets a good chance. I think he's a cracking footballer, very, very pacey. You know, real talent I'll be looking at. From my own club, there's a young lad called Connor Hand. Connor Hand, you know, on his day is potentially, I always think in the last 20 years, in terms of ability, Matthew Fitzpatrick is the best player who Antrim have had, but he's now, you know, sold his soul to the devil and he's moved to Linfield. Now he's took up a professional football career, so you can't begrudge him that at all. But Connor Hand, in terms of the way he moves and floats with the ball, I think he's only 20, maybe 21. He's on the under 20s last year. He's a cracker to look forward to. But there's a few people have been brought in. I think it's at the fault of their club. You know, their club maybe struggle without them. Niall Burns, for example. Niall Burns almost single-handedly kept some goals out of Division 2 last year. Absolutely. He's now brought up into the team, which is really good. I think if he gets a goal this first year, he probably doesn't fit the Andy McEntee sort of says of football, you know, where you're big and you're strong. Niall's a bit of a smaller fella. But definitely, you know, best left foot in the county at the minute. Unreal talent. I really like him. Then you have boys like Jamie Gribben was injured for a lot of last year. Had a brilliant championship with that Corrigan. Didn't see him against Glenn because he got injured again. But whenever things weren't going right for Corrigan throughout the championship, he was a player in half forward who'd done the dogged work, chased balls down. Didn't get a lot of scores, but I don't think that's his game. And then there's Stephen Beattie previously. And well, Stephen's, you know, there's something always about a left footer. Whenever a left footer strikes a ball, it's always sexy. Stephen has it, you know, some of the points he takes in the games, I'd say he had about 45 yards out, and you're just going, Jesus, that's class. Will he add the Antrim? Yes, but I don't think it'll be a massive impact. Maybe it's just not a surprise because I've seen him playing before. But I think that the one to look out for next year for an established player is Owen McCabe. I really think this is Owen's year to go. You've seen him against Armagh. He was the one who was breaking lanes. Him and Mark Jordan were doing really well against Armagh. Mark maybe running a bit more cul-de-sacs than he needed to. But Mark against Meath, whenever he went quiet, Antrim went quiet, which shows you the sort of the amount of work the amount of Antrim rely on Mark Jordan. But I have to give a shout-out. I think Owen McCabe is going to be the player who makes a big difference to Antrim this year. Kane Clinton is probably – I'm going to sort of – drop this one in here because I'm putting all my eggs into the one hit. Kane is a carry. He's a Leitrim boy, I believe, like County Leitrim. I went across a couple of down games last year, as you know, Warren, and I watched him two or three times and went, he's, you know, he's talent. He's a good left foot on. He's strong. He's fit. Whenever things were maybe dropping down to a certain level and maybe other carried off players were shying away from a tackle, Kane was getting into him. And I went up the Andy one then. It was one of the championship games, and I went up the Andy and tapped him on the shoulder. I don't know him, I just came here, I need you a wee second. I said, there's a boy over in Carrickduff, and Carrickduff falls in the County Down. So he's not Andy, would probably want to know him, you know, go over and watch him. And I says, need to go, and Andy looked at me going, Carrickduff, is that not in Down? I said, but his postcode might be an Andy, I'm going to have a look at him. I really want Kane to go really well this year, so I can give him myself a pat in the back. But I think in half forward he'll be a real asset to Antrim this year. There's boys there who were involved last year. Hopefully they're a wee bit older and wiser now. But there's a couple of good additions in there with Niall Burns, Kane Clinton, who will do damage this year. They're getting an opportunity. If they fit into it well, if they come into it well, because you all know, stepping up from, you can be a class club footballer, Stepping up a county, it's faster, it's quicker, and it takes you some getting used to at times.
Yeah, maybe if that player does end up playing for Antrim and goes on to be a bit of a player, maybe Andy might call you back in and be like, here, can you go and find me some more of them? Maybe you might get a job in as a scout or something. You know,
agency fees. No, I think I tortured Andy McIntyre enough of the last few weeks. He'd probably be saying, geez, there's that hitter coming back towards me again. But yeah, look, that's what I'm saying. We now have a team there. Andy has brought a lot of young players into it. He's done, and maybe you know, I'm putting too much pressure on their shoulders here, but I have a really good feeling about Antrim football this year. I have a really good feeling. Andy's a lovely fellow. Like you see him at games, he stands about, he hangs about after matches. He doesn't get in his car and drive home. He'll stand about talking to people, chatting to people, and the team seem to really like him. So I think there's a real optimism. You have Pat Shivers. Pat walked off a panel last year after the Armagh game, or shortly after the Armagh game. He's back involved, you know, so being able to build bridges and mend relationships. Pat's another cracking talent who Antrim have. Big, physical, imposing fella. You know, what is he, 6'3", 6'4", maybe 14, 15 stone of muscle. Big, big player for Antrim. If he gets his balance set up, and I think he needed to change his team. I do think he needed to change his team from what he did last year. There's a good squad of players in there. The only big thing is fullback. They don't have a fullback. You know, Peter Healy done it against Armagh last year. Declan Lynch has been drafted in there and times. Finnegan's been drafted in there. But yeah, Declan Lynch is your centre halfback. You know, Healy's not into your fullback, but he does a good job. And cornerback. So it's just really worried. That's the only concern I have with Antrim. Who do they get to play fullback next year?
Yeah, and looking at Antrim's fixtures then for the league next year, Limerick away, first up, Offaly home, Down home, Sligo away, Westmeath home, Clare away, Wicklow home. I mean, I suppose if you are in a promotion race, you've got a couple of the teams you'd want, I suppose, in your own backyard, the likes of Offaly, Down and Westmeath. I suppose going to Clare away on Paddy's Day, coincidentally enough, might be a bit of a tricky one. But I suppose the fixture list is fairly kind as well there. If you are going to be on a promotion hunt.
Yeah, I think, you know, looking at Wicklow and Sligo have both come up. They're both the unknowns. You know, they're the unknowns. In years gone by, you'd probably say that they'd be a yo-yo team. You know, the team's coming up, they're most likely wants to go back down. I can't see that with Wicklow, and why that would be the case with Wicklow. You know, they got until the last day last year to get promoted, but now you have Mark Dornan in there, who's a great coach, you know, very good coach. He's done a lot of work with Sloc Neil this year. He was in McClure last year. So Wicklow are an unknown. Sligo have had underage success, and that's bound to be starting to come through into, you know, senior football now. Is next year with McIntyre back in there? Is it where their boys are serious operators? They'd be hard. There's talking Down that the Clonduff boys are not playing next year, which is obviously, you know, a blow for Down, but a huge opportunity for Antrim. Antrim and Down football is not too dissimilar. You know, you could play, and this hasn't been too dissimilar for a number of years, 10, 15 years, even at that. They would do a lot of challenge games. There's very little in between them. So that comes down, the home draw on that side is massive. With Westmeath, Antrim beat back cricket score last year in Down and Mullingar, you know, put a line through it. It was a complete, you're still scratching your head wondering what it might be. But we know Westmeath underperformed for the majority of last year. Was that a sort of bounce factor coming off winning the Hodgson Cup? Are they a different beast this year? I don't know. But I think that, you know, Antrim have more than enough to be dealing with Offaly. You know, they have more than enough to compete with Westmeath and Down. I think they will go down to the wire. But you look at some of the results last year, they were only getting beat by 1s and 2 points at times whenever games they should have won. Maybe that run the Hodgson Cup now gives them a bit more experience, and maybe they'll get over the line in them games.
Yeah, it's going to be very competitive, all right. Like, I suppose having Clare obviously drop down, we saw how competitive and how good they were in Division 2 for a long time. Like, I imagine they'll definitely be one of the favourites. It is sort of mad still seeing Westmeath in Division 3. I think everyone's almost backed Westmeath to get out of this division in the last couple of years, and just through a whole load of inconsistency. Like, it seems to be when they get to the Championship or the Tailteann Cup, like, that's really when they click into gear. As you said, Down very much on the rise, Tailteann Cup finalists last year, Conor Laverty's second year. And then I suppose you've got counties like Offaly, Sligo are very much on the rise. I suppose Wicklow are the unknown. So it's going to be a very, like, it's going to be a very topsy-turvy division. And as you said, like last year, and I think even the year before, where you had four or five teams who could get promoted, or I think it might have been Division 2, I think I remember back in 2021, where you had like five or six teams who could either get promoted or relegated on the same day. I remember Cavan, where they went from being promoted on the same day to relegated on the same day with the way the results went. Like, maybe Division 3 could be a bit like that, because you've got a whole host of quality in there, and teams who are all very much at a very similar level, in my opinion.
Yeah, look, you know that Division 1, you have your heavy odds on favours to get relegated. You know, there, you know, Monaghan will probably be in there. You have Kerry, who do enough in the league just to stay around at mid-table. We know that the Mayos and the Roscommons and Galways of this world treat the league well. So there's almost a split in there. Tyrone, you know, Tyrone are maybe one of the teams you're looking at this year dropping down. So there's maybe a split in Division 1, who you could say they're definitely good up and they're competing to go down, or they're definitely the top end and they're competing to go down. In Division 2, it's much the same. It's probably your two coming up and your two coming down. You're saying chances are they're going to go back down and they're going to go back up. So it's almost like your teams who steady off there. In Division 3, it's much different, because you have your teams coming down and the likes of Sligo coming up. What's to stop Sligo bunny hopping here and going into Division 2 next year? You know, get into the Connacht final last, did they get bit by in the Connacht semi-final last year? But if they're getting this under 20 team that won the All Ireland through, if they're getting them player, what's to stop them from getting a bit of momentum? And John McEntee's obviously hanging about there for a particular reason. No doubt he'd be brought in somewhere else if he left. So there's something that's keeping him in Sligo. It's very hard to call. But Antrim, as I say, last year, shoot a bit for mana and shoot a bit down. And they didn't manage to see those games out. That's an extra 4 points. That brings you up into third place, because the team in Fermanagh were promoted on 10 points last year. You know, and both the end games you only lost by a point.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. All right, I think, you know, like obviously as you said before, Division 1 usually a lot of time kind of shadow boxing. You know, teams not playing at their potential. We even saw this with Dublin, for example, in Division 2, not looking at their best. We saw it with some sides in Division 1, the likes of Kerry and whatnot. You know, and then obviously sort of as the more the championship went on, the teams who did well in the league didn't do so well in the championship, and the teams who looked poor in the league actually had a very, very good championship. James says here, an Ulster final for Antrim. Gavin, pigs might fly as well. That was in relation to Gavin's comment earlier. Yeah, maybe an Ulster final might be, a stretch too far. Maybe in terms of like the most positive Antrim fan in the world. I mean, like, I know you played down, and then I think the winner of that plays Fermanagh and Armagh. So you probably are avoiding, you know, the other big boys in terms of Tyrone, Derry, Donegal on that side of the draw. But surely getting to an Ulster final might be a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, definitely. Look, it'd be moronic of me to say that there's a good chance of it, because I've already put my house on the Armagh winning Ulster next year, and Armagh's on our side of the draw. I think that the ambition for Antrim has to be to beat down this year. You know, if they got promoted, I mean, ideally they get promoted to Division 2. If they beat down and they get a good run the Tailteann Cup against semi-final this time, even if they win the Tailteann Cup, you would have to say that's probably a very, very good year for Antrim next year. I think even at that, if they got up into Division 2, you would have to take that and say, burn it, great, because although I say that, you know, that Andy went through a rebuild, your rebuild can sometimes extend beyond 2 or 3 years, but these young players, you like your Jimmy Gribben coming in, the likes of the Connor Johnsons of this world, the likes of your Ewan Kelly coming in, you want them as to be, they're the young lads at 18 to 22, 23 years old. You want them as to be playing in Division 2, even struggling in Division 2, but getting exposure at that level. So then 3 or 4 years' time, they're used to it and they're competing with it. So the I think Andrew's real ambition this year has to be to get promoted. It has to be to get promoted. It gets some consistency in the league, and there's no reason why they can't get promoted to it. I think that beating down is a real possibility. Beating down is a massive possibility. There's never much in it. Going down to Newry will be difficult. It'll be hard. Conor Loughley will be seeing that as a game. Yep, look, we've a good draw here. Basically, Conor Loughley will be saying, but with an easier draw than last year against Donegal, and they beat Donegal last year. But then, no matter what, both them teams are going to meet Armagh, and Armagh are gulf apart. You've seen it when they both met last year in the championship. What was their reserve? 10, 15, or sorry, there was 11 points in it. Was it against Antrim? Well held. Armagh took a foot off the gas in the last sort of 10 minutes. They could have been a lot more into it. They really held down as well. So can any team beat Armagh? No, they can't. Not in the month of Sundays, unless there's a bomb scare coming in that day and the Armagh team or only half of them get pulled off and get strip searched or something. No, they can't beat Armagh.
Yeah, maybe like what happened with Tottenham many years ago when they had dodgy chicken or something like that, or dodgy food, and they all had food poison or something like that. But Keane says here, Antrim to remain in Division 3, can't see them getting promoted to Division 2. Sorry, Antrim fans. Yeah, like I probably would have to agree as well. Like just when you look at Clare, Westmead, you know, Offaly down, a lot of very good sides in there. But again, a lot of those teams have been very inconsistent in the last couple of years, and that's probably why they're in Division 3. And I suppose we saw the likes of Louth and Limerick, you know, go up to Division 2. So I suppose, look, it's not exactly impossible. But yeah, like I suppose.
As you mentioned, Darren, you know, the draw is very favourable to the Antrim League. The draw is very favourable. Mm-hmm. Well, they've got 7 games, 4 of them at home. And then you're away to, I mean, your Westmeath's at home, your Downs at home. So Clare's away will be a tough one. Wicklow's at home, then your Sligo away, I think, as well. Sligo away is an all right fixture. You know, Sligo away is an okay fixture. You'd much rather meet, with all due respect to Wicklow and Sligo, you'd much rather meet those two away than Clare and Westmeath away. You know, Kirkham Park's not an easy place to go. Kirkham Park's not an easy place to go. At the minute, because Casement's not built, that probably suits Antrim. Kirkham Park can be a noisy place on match days. It's the new stand built up in there. The club itself run the day fantastically for fans and spectators, everything to come in and enjoy a game of football. And if Antrim can get results at home, you're doing really well. It's picking up. It's getting maybe a draw against Clare down there on St. Paddy's Day. It'd be a tough one. But that's what your ambition is. You come away from there with either a very good performance or at least a point. It puts you up there. If Antrim win all their home games, you're only 8 points. You know, they're only 8 points, and that's up in the promotion territory. But yeah, look, here from an outside perspective, even inside, people message me, you'd say, well, Jesus, that's a relegation next year. We haven't got a chance. I don't know. I like Andy McEntee. I like the way he talks about football. You constantly hear him saying, get ahead of the ball, get ahead of the ball. And I think this year, last year, they were still too defensive at half-back. They were afraid to go forward. I think if you have Declan Lynch at centre half-back, Paddy McBride, I'll say it again, he's been playing the wrong position for every manager that's ever had him. You know, he's not a centre half-forward or a wing half-forward. He's a half-back. He's a half-back because his best thing is that he runs at people. Whenever you're playing, even as a sweeper, he can do well at that, but tends to be that whenever you play Paddy McBride in the half-forward lane, a defender marks him. If you play him half-back, he's marking a forward. He can get away from that forward very, very quickly, and you not have to do an awful lot of defensive work the way football's played now. You know, it's more dropping back into your shape. Mark Jordan's another flam machine. You put them both on the wing going forward, it'll be very, very hard to stop. Any team in that league will find it hard to drop back. I said, St. John's actually played Portland on last year in the league, and St. John's manager, was it last year? No, maybe the year before. And they brought Paddy McBride in the right half back, and John McKeever, who's a very shrewd footballer, you know, football brain on him, he's a manager at Portland on. After 5 minutes, he switched his half forward lane to cater for McBride. To say, come over, he's already scored a point and he set 2 or 3 opportunities up in there. And that's what happens. You move from having 6 forwards into 5 forwards and a man marker, which is, it puts a cat amongst the pigeons. You know, it makes Emmons think that maybe they have to change their game, have to chase McBride, who's a flam machine, going at pace towards a goal.
Yeah, I was going to ask you as well, like, because I remember speaking with Clare and Loud fans last year, and I sort of asked them something similar. And from speaking with the usual lads that get on, the likes of Matthew and Seamus and whatnot, and we were sort of debating it. Like Clare and Loud, obviously, you know, Clare and Loud both went into the All-Ireland series last year. And obviously Loud where I suppose Loud were promoted up from Division 3. But if Antrim were to get promoted up from Division 3 into Division 2, depending on, you know, if they were to win the Division 2 title, let's say, and depending on how other things were to work, there could be a possibility where Antrim go into the All-Ireland series. What do you think would be better for the progression of Antrim football? Do you think being an All-Ireland series team now is the right thing, or do you think still being in the Tailteann Cup might actually be better for Antrim, I suppose, in terms of where they're at right now?
All-Ireland, and here's why. If Antrim go this year, say they get promoted into Division 2 and they get the Tailteann Cup semi-final, they get the Tailteann Cup final, they get beat on the day for it. That is one day's performance. You know, they winning the league for what Antrim need is more important to get them into a higher division than win the Tailteann Cup. But to get the Tailteann Cup semi-final or final and you know, putting in a performance and maybe just not getting over the line, I don't think you sit in there in that cup next year. You get exposure into you've got the credit, you've got the ability to move into Division 2. You're going to be playing against those teams. Yes, you can drop down and play, and you know, if you got a win like me done this year, it'd be great. There'd be a cup back, but Antrim won an All-Ireland B a few years ago, and it didn't do anything for the county, you know, in terms of progression for it. Playing the Meath aren't guaranteed. Only Meath have so many good under-8 teams coming through. That's more success in the long run for Meath than actually winning last year's Tailteann Cup. Yes, they'll do their confidence the world of good. They got more games as a team together. They've got that championship feeling. They played in Croke Park and got a win in Croke Park. So there's all that psychological stuff goes with it. But to win a game on a day isn't making significant progress. Get up in there and get a couple of games in the All-Ireland series and the groups, whatever way it forms out. And, okay, your first year, your second year, you might get a win. But then if you're staying in Division 2 for that year and you're up and you're competing with it, that confidence levels will begin to change.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, no, look, it's going to be interesting, all right, I suppose, keeping an eye on the Antrim footballers next season. No doubt about that. I suppose maybe just looking at the hurlers and looking back at last season in general. So in Division 1B last season, obviously Antrim stayed up, one win from 5 games, and then of course obviously in the Leinster Championship they managed to stay up as well, obviously with that last day win obviously against Westmeath. So I suppose it's a bit of an odd one, isn't it? Like for Antrim hurling, like obviously it's been a lot of progression in the last couple of years, getting up to Division 1, getting up to the standard of playing your Kilkennys, your Galways. Like, is there any frustration though at the same time with the fact that I suppose, like, just looking at it there, 7 games, 2 wins, like obviously nobody would be expecting Antrim realistically to topple the likes of your Kilkennys or Galway or, you know, Tipperary or anyone of that nature. But I suppose at the same time, like, I do feel like we're hurling in general, like there is this weird limbo between the sides who are too good, the sides who aren't good enough, and then you've sort of got Antrim stuck in the middle a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the progression of where hurling's went over the last number of years hasn't helped the development of hurling. You know, it used to be whenever, you know, I think I was minor or maybe younger, not under 16, and Antrim would have competed in Ulster, won Ulster, and that brought them into the sort of All-Ireland semi-final stage, you know, before you had the back door or anything like this into it. I remember traveling down to watch them against Cork. Cork won that day, but Antrim put it to them for Tipperary, was it? Denny Cahill was looking after the team. They played Cork in Croke Park, and they were days out. You went down there with the expectation. You know, the league, you can look at the league results and say Kilkenny only beat them by, was it 6-7 points on the day? And a bit like what you were saying about Dublin there. It's what these teams actually treat, what your Kilkenny's treating the league, what your Galway's treating the league, what your Wexford's treating the league. And then it's the difference come championship, you know, because the difference come championship in Kilkenny were night and day. You move from a 5-6 point defeat till a 15-20, a cricket score, you know, that was the difference on. I know Darren Gleeson said last year that you don't look towards that last game against Westmeath to keep you up and keep you safe. They maybe done really well, could have had Dublin in the first game in the championship. Dublin beat them, I think, in a bad league down in Parnell, bad point in the league, and then come up to Currieagain Park, and by all means, Antrim maybe could have had them or should have had them. But for your Dublins, your Westmeads, and your Antrims, it comes down to who can beat who. You know, it comes down to where do you get your two? Because it's, yes, there was a, you know, Wexford obviously beat last year, surprised everybody. What went on there? I don't know. It was one of the players had a couple of grand on the Westmead to win. I don't know what was going on to it. They're few and far between. They're very few and far between. And the gap, I don't want to say hasn't closed, because in Antrim need league. Antrim need more exposure to the league to be competing and get, you know, hard hitting, fast hurling. And the longer that goes on, then the more chance they have of doing a championship performance. But the big difference is underage again. You know, for Antrim to get, I'm not saying competitive because I don't want to pay any disrespect to Derry or Down Hurling, for Antrim to get a serious competitive underage game, you're probably having to travel down to Dublin. Whereas if you live in Waterford, it's half an hour by the board. If you live in Limerick, you know, you're playing your Tipperary or your Kilkennys, you know, right? These teams are hitting against each other. I remember Samuel McNaughton, he says Antrim should buy a big house down south somewhere and take teams down there for the weekend regularly and get exposure to it. And only by playing fast and aggressive hurling all the time are you going to improve for that. I suppose the biggest thing for Antrim this year is that you know, Darren Gleeson dealt a massive blow with, all right, Neil McManus he's done everything he can. He actually finished on a high because he was a significant player for Antrim last year as well. Maybe if he was downturning a bit and his performances weren't there, you'd be saying, look, Neil, you probably should have went last year. And, you know, it's, you know, a pat in the back's not too far from kicking a hole. You know, that's a difference on it. Would Neil come back after now they have a Dunloy contingent have said they're not playing next year? I don't know the reason for it, but they, you know, their club is obviously ambitions of being a significant dual club. So maybe that is, and their footballers at the minute they're in Division 3 next year, which is a bottom rung of the ladder in Antrim. So maybe they're saying like we are putting our shoulder to the wheel for the club here and putting club first. I don't know. That's only an assumption. But you also have Donal Nugent. Donal probably didn't play an awful lot last year in terms of starting. Would have been a fringe player, but also used as a sub. You have Joe Maskey, who a few years ago was a regular player. He's away now. So straight away before the league started, you're dealt with seven players who you had last year, five of who were starters or significant, you know, starters or would have been up or starting for it anyway, which is going to be very difficult to overcome. You know, there's a fellow playing here on Sunday, Joe McLaughlin. He's only 18, he's still doing his A levels. You know, putting it up against Slough Neil, it's not too different, you know, it's not too dissimilar to the certain county teams. You know, that's the standard of hurling that Cushion Doll play at. You have Law Gill put in a few performances this year, but you're gonna have to get more players involved who maybe don't have that experience of hurling at county level. It's going to be very difficult for them to do. Very difficult for them. But can they stay up? Yeah, they can. I just don't expect them to be putting in. Last year, this time last year, you're saying, look, you need to do something with Antrim hurling in terms of meeting them performances. It got to the end of the league and the talk was, we're up in there, we're hitting the ceiling. We just now need to break through that ceiling. Unfortunately, you can't break through the ceiling if you've got 5, 6, 7 men short who were your team last year. So they're down a wee bit, and that may be sound deflating. And Darren Gleeson will have rallied the troops and says, like, yous are equally as good as Emmons, or we have more to come in here. And everybody who's on that squad will give it their all next year. But they're very big players to take out. You know, one retirement a year from Tipperary or one retirement a year from Kilkenny, two maybe at the most, you're going, we can fill that void. This is more than a stick and plaster, Joe.
Yeah, like is the aspiration, and do you think it's even possible for Antrim to break through that ceiling in the next point in the next couple of years? Or do you think maybe with those men who have left the panel last year and maybe aren't available this year, do you think that opportunity has been missed, or could you see Antrim still make that breakthrough in the next couple of years?
On a personal level, no, I think it's been missed. You know, I do think it's been missed. You do have boys coming back like Conor McCann from Craig and Kieran Clark from Ballycastle. Brilliant hurlers. You know, they will help fill that void. If Joe McLaughlin commits them and plays senior hurling next year, you know, hopefully he gets the opportunity. Hopefully he can make the transition at rapid pace to senior county, inter-county hurling. But there's not an awful lot beyond that. You know, there's not your... And it's not because there's not the players there. It's just because your Nate McManus is such an asset. You know, even last year, his free taking alone was there. Kyle Malloy, Sean Elliott, Ryan Elliott, you know, they're significant members of that team. They're the players you build your team around, as opposed to putting meat. They're the bones of the team. You know, they're the backbone of the team. Yeah. So very challenging. I can't see them doing an awful lot. I think realistically for Antrim next year, it's about knocking on that ceiling again without blasting through it. I think if they can stay up into that, you know, and I think Antrim may have a motion going down to extend to Joe McDonagh, to allow them to stay up into the Leinster Championship if you're playing Joe McDonagh Cup. So maybe that's with saying that we need to spend more time up in here. And that's benefit of hurling. You know, if you can get more teams playing and more teams are able to play in the Leinster Championship, playing against them on a regular basis, and you're not at risk of getting relegated straight away the next year. That's the only opportunity you have for development to hurling.
Yeah,
no, and Ireland's getting smaller and smaller.
No, I do. I completely agree with that as well. Like, I think if you could extend the Leinster Championship out a little bit, I know, like, I suppose Munster is perfect the way it is. I know. Supposed to be tricky, really trying, you know, if Kerry can, but like the level of Munster is miles and miles ahead of most Leinster teams, really, if we're being honest. Like, I think if you threw Wexford in Munster, you know, I think they'd struggle, you know, struggle massively. I think if you threw Dublin in there, I think we'd struggle to get a win. But if you were to extend out the Leinster Championship a little bit more, get one or two more teams in there, then it would be a lot better, because you would have one or two counties like an Antrim or a Dublin, who'd be able to get two or three wins, build a bit of confidence, and it wouldn't be a case of one win and then, you know, focus on the game against Dublin and your Westmeath or your Carlow. But yeah, it's going to be interesting, no doubt, to see what happens next year. James says here, this lad knows his stuff. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We finally got someone on here who knows a thing or two, in fairness.
It's probably because I think James was saying, I wonder how we got a chance in the football. So he's probably just agreeing with me, or I'm agreeing with him in terms of the hurling. And I often find that, I often say to myself, there was a boy there, I was having a chat with him against Dunloy and Port Benone. And first time I chatted to him, I was involved with this club a wee bit last year. And he was just talking about football. And I went away going, Jesus, that boy knows his stuff. He might do his stuff, he just agrees with the thing I agree with.
yeah, no, that's how it is sometimes. Sometimes I think, look, we all appreciate each other's opinions, especially when we agree. I think that's definitely when it makes it a lot better.
I think actually, Arne, you know, there's more. I know we always talk about in football about the provisional systems in Ulster, and you know, Connacht championships are probably the only ones worth competing for, and all this jazz goes with it. I think that maybe a reshaping of whatever goes on in hurling, you know, bringing Galway, for example, down into Munster, you know, they're a Connacht team playing in Leinster Championship, to bring them down into Munster Championship and allow an extra team to go into that Leinster Championship, or you probably have to rename it here by the end of this conversation. But if you brought them in, you're not forfeiting, you're not diluting the Leinster Championship anymore. You have the same amount of numbers into it, but then you maybe have a Galway who are replacing maybe a Kerry, for want of a better phrase, who are able to compete with your Waterfords and your Corks and, you know, teams they got on a regular basis. And that would mean that Dublin aren't worried about where they're going to get their 2 points from, because they're probably just at the start of the year saying, we'll box those off as two, and those other two, that's four, we're safe. And all of a sudden, you can start to look to actually performance, because what Antrim, although it wasn't publicly declared, and Darren Gleeson did say, they played Dublin in their first game and Westmeath in their last game. Between those two games, realistically, they're the only two that were going to have a chance of winning. The other ones is about keeping players involved and engaged and keeping them that motivation high. But you're also, before the Westmeath game, you're worried about injuries. You're worried, so you're going to protect your players as much as possible to try and stay up. And if you did have at least one more team up in there, you then have four teams potentially going down as opposed to just two.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, and even with Westmeath, I know, as we were saying there, like, it was an absolute madness what happened with that game between Westmeath and Wexford. I think Wexford were leading by 20, 22, 23, maybe even more at half time. And I don't know how. I think Westmeath got 4 or 5 goals in the second half. It was it was absolutely mental stuff there, in fairness.
Maybe that's where JP got his 32 million from.
maybe he's got something going on that we don't, in fairness. Curious to know, actually, what you think about Rory Hoge, obviously going up against O'Loughlin Gales at the weekend. How do you reckon they'll get on?
They'll do rightly. We often talk in terms of sports psychology and, you know, having sports psychologists in, and sometimes you have to be fighting for something that's bigger than the game itself. You know, they had a very unfortunate death in their community this year with, Wee John. You know, I think he's probably well known throughout Ireland and maybe beyond that now. Those players have made no secret about it. Whenever Neil McManus left at the Cup in Kerrigan Park, he says, it's for Wee John. You know, they're a very close-knit community. If you've never been to, probably like many counties and many clubs in Ireland, particularly in rural Ireland, would the length of Cushendall be a mile? I don't think so. I holiday up beside in Waterfoot and Carnlough, go in there regularly. They're just so tight-knit community. They are brothers or cousins. They have a lot more to play for than just to represent Antrim. You know, they're playing for something closer to home. And no, Wee John will be leading them around that on Sunday. He will have been the one leading them around the parade as if he's playing. He walks with a smile on his face. And, you know, they have nothing to lose from it. They have nothing to lose from it.
Yeah, no, I think they have a chance. They definitely have a chance, all right. Like, I watched O'Loughlin Gales quite closely, obviously, against Nafina. And, you know, Nafina looked like they were just about going to edge it out, and then O'Loughlin Gales came roaring back. I think that's something you can't sort of disagree with, is O'Loughlin Gales' spirit coming through Ballyhale and obviously getting over the line against Nafina as well. But as we saw with Dunloy last year, you know, Antrim clubs, especially in hurling, even obviously the football, you know, the clubs who've come through in football have been fairly competitive in Ulster as well. So, I wouldn't be entirely surprised if Rory Hoge were to go ahead and pull off the shock, in fairness.
And just, you know, I hope they do really well. You know, it'd be no surprise that team itself maybe thought that, you know, they did think that this was their year, that they, Neil McManus has said in the paper before, you know, that they always knew they'd never really lived up to their expectations or what their ability is. There's definitely ability in that team. That Dunloy team, they're not caught on a flat day, but they just didn't have the answers on that day to Lougheed whenever Lougheed beat them in the semi-final. If this was Dunloy getting into this game, you'd probably be saying that's another All Ireland for them. You know, they're getting in, you know, because that they're again a crack on hurling team. But it wasn't too long ago that Cushendall were in the All Ireland hurling final as well. You know, a lot of them players have soldiered on with them. They brought even for an 18-year-old and Joe McLaughlin to score 2-5 against Portaferry, who are a serious outfit as well. And then put in a performance against Lochneil. And, you know, a physical Lochneil team who have hurlers on it, they have potential within there. I just hope they do themselves justice on the day, and I hope they put in a performance on the day. It's not beyond them.
Yeah. I suppose last thing maybe before we finish up, I suppose all the guests I get on in terms of season previews, I'll ask them this sort of going into next year. But in general, like, who if you have to predict anyone to win All-Irelands in football and hurling, or any surprise packages or anything of any nature in football or hurling, who would you look towards going into next year?
It's hard to see against, for the hurling, it's hard to see anybody else but Limerick. But then you're coming up against 5 in a row. You know, does that mean anything to that team right at this time? I don't know. Maybe they'll look back on it whenever they're older and say, you know, whenever they're retired and say, maybe that's what their focus is, about another performance into it. It's hard to see Limerick. But I think that, like, so Galway could push them a bit more this year. I think with Shafflin now committed into Galway for a bit longer, I think it will be tighter. But it's just hard to see past them because they are an absolute machine. They really went 4 in a row now, which is never seen before. But it has to come to, the gravy train has to come to a stop at some stage. I just don't know whether next year will be it. So I can't really see an awful shock in hurling. And unfortunately, the thing with hurling is you've only got your few who could knock them off that perch. I would like to see Cork do well. I think the GAA needs a good People's Republic of Cork, you know, in both hurling and football. I think that Cork football is improving. I liked what they were trying to do against Derry last year. Can they improve an awful lot more? I think they can, and I would love to see Cork back up their punching. I think they may surprise people this year. I think they, you, if they are able to get that game plan right. I just watched them last year against Derry, and I thought it was a boring old match to watch. And but at times, they were trying to kick ball into the half forward, and it was just that first touch. The ball was dropping just a wee bit short. And if they can build on that, they may be a surprise in the football this year. But I think there's an awful lot in Kerry. I think Kerry have a lot of players who weren't playing last year, who were out injured, young players. I can never say his name. He was over at the ALF stuff. Stephen.
O'Cumber, I think, is the
man. Yeah, my Gaelic isn't great. My English, that's my first language, and it's not great either. So the only way I learned Irish is
I'm the same, to be fair, but I've just known, I've heard enough Kerry people talk about him before and big him up. So
he was up at the in West Belfast, there's a fella, and he came in, and he was walking up the steps, and I looked at him, and I said, Jesus, he looks an awful lot like your boy from Kerry. Wonder what happened, because I know he was playing a bit of the pre-season last year. But I sat down there in front of him, and there was a Kerry boy up giving a talk of around about Common Less Gael, or around about Gaels uniting, around about having a citizens' assembly around United Ireland, what the future of Ireland looks like. And the boy from Kerry was talking. It wasn't until after he says, and they're sitting, you know, seven Kerry man up as well. And I went, I knew that was you. But he was told, he said he ended up having hamstring surgery last year. He was saying about me that the amount of players who are out of the game last year who just didn't get on, you know, for want of just riddled with injuries. I think Jack O'Connor can get another All Ireland at him. You know, I think there's definitely the ability there. They weren't too far off there or Dublin this year. Maybe underperformed somewhat on the day, but yeah, I think it's probably Kerry's football up their game with Dublin. I don't know. I can't say. There's something telling me the fit between Mickey Hart and Derry isn't right. There's just something telling me the fit there isn't right. I watch in Glenn. You know, I think Kieran McFall's in for a massive year next year in football. I think Kieran McFall is a Rolls Royce footballer. You've seen him against Scotstown. He didn't have a bit of mud on him. He was never off the ball. He didn't have a bit of mud on him. He's just a classy footballer. Him back full time next year is going to be a big addition to Derry. Could Derry win an All Ireland? They could, but they have to overcome a hurting Kerry team. And this rest, I think, will do David Clifford and Paddy Clifford the world of good.
Yeah, no, I do agree. I do think Kerry are definitely the front runners. There's absolutely no mistake about it. I mean, look, they were front runners last year as well. I think most people had them as favourites last season. But as you said, I think one of the things that maybe caught up with Kerry a little bit, as you said, was the amount of football the Cliffords were playing. And Kerry clubs done very well last year. You know, a lot of them got to, you know, I think they had junior All-Ireland winners, intermediate All-Ireland winners. Cairns O'Rahilly's got to All-Ireland semi-finals. As far as I know, that's not going to be the case, obviously, this year. Obviously, you don't have Dingle. And I think intermediate and junior, I don't think you've, yeah, I suppose at junior level anyway, I know Fossard definitely are not going to be, there anyways. So look, you know, that break could definitely do them the world of good. And I suppose I wrote Dublin off for the majority of last season. So maybe if I keep doing the same this year, then, they might prove me wrong once again. But realistically, like, you're looking at a Dublin, Kerry, Derry, like, it's probably going to be, I suppose, I was going to say usual suspects. Derry are sort of new to the pack in recent years, but generally speaking, it's going to be more or less the same sort of teams who were thereabouts last year.
Yeah, and I think Derry, there's no two ways about it. Derry should have been in the All Ireland final last year. You know, my problem with Derry is that maybe last year they didn't have the depth of a squad. You know, you've only told some back in there playing. There's a couple of young lads in there who are playing. Maybe Emma Bradley goes back in. Massive additions to probably have. I just think you looked at it beyond their 15 last year and you're struggling. You know, young lad there, Shea Downey, was brought on a few times for them. And the result, you know, obviously there was a whole rigmarole here. And I don't remember about the Downeys leaving Lavi to come down and play for St. Braids. And there was four or five of them transferred in. They didn't have a significant impact in the league. It was, you know, maybe there was a bit of expectation within Antrim in terms of this is a Derry footballer coming in. He was on the panel at reaching the All-Ireland final. he didn't have a big game. He didn't have a big game against Supreme or even against Rossi. You know, he wasn't, Jesus, there's Conor Glass playing or there's Shane McGuigan playing. It wasn't that type. Maybe there is potential for him to be like that in the future. You know, I'm not saying, I'm not writing the young lad off at all. But you need to have a bit more than just that coming into your team. You know, even if you looked at Dublin last year, come turn around over your shoulder and Jack McCaffrey ready, come on. You know, that's the type of depth you're talking about that you need. And Emmett Bradley, if he goes back to play for Derry, it'll be welcome, it'll be great. I just don't know if there's beyond that, if those fringe players from last year, their subs, are going to make that big difference in there. Maybe Paddy Cassidy came on against Kerry. Is he getting on the other side of the old now? You know, is he beyond that? There's not that impact, and that could be their big hurdle. Big hurdle.
Yeah, James says Tyrone. I suppose, look, you've got a couple of teams maybe underneath. I would say your Dublin, Derry, Kerry. I would put them as the top three in whatever order you wanted to put them in. You've probably got, you know, Mayo, Galway, Tyrone, Armagh, probably over, you know, Monaghan, all these teams, probably maybe Cork, as you said, a little bit underneath. Could you see any of them doing that and, you know, being a surprise?
I can't see Connacht. I can't see Galway, Roscommon, or, you know, Mayo. I can't see a significant progress in any of them teams. There's something about Armagh that I always like about Armagh. I just think if they, maybe a Colin Gilligan going in there now, maybe let the shackles off a bit more next year. You know, if they get their data right in game and they can see the impact that they're dropping up. I mean, had they known during the game that Derry would have scored 1-5 from short kickouts, they definitely would have changed that up. They would have put a press onto it. And that could have been the difference in winning the game. I think that Tyrone, it depends on who they get back in. You know, they're going to have to go and ask players who opted out of the panel to come back in. You know, Peter Hart's obviously committed to it. Big fella Donaghy from Tyrone, he had a wonderful championship. Forget the club he's with in Dungannon.
Paul Donaghy, is that?
Yeah, Craig, we want to see, you know, I watched a lot of them Tyrone TV, won a lot of their championship games. I actually was doing a wee bit of work for a Tyrone team there recently, and I had to go back and review a couple of their games and sort of pick out patterns of play. And there's good footballers in Tyrone. There's good footballers in Tyrone. Their championship was an exciting championship. If Moy Cullen had a went and beat if Moy Cullen had a went and won the Galway Championship, I think that would have been better for Galway football overall. I think Galway probably needed a team to get regional Iron Final in football. But I just don't think that Cora Finn, you know, were the best team in Galway this year. I think Moy Cullen were better through the championship for it. James might, Harry ate some year in the club championship. James ate a brilliant year for it. And, you know, they need to go and ask Paul Donaghy back in and say, look, come back in. There's a few, like I said, about Andy McEntee and Pat Shivers, whatever on there. They built the bridge and he's back in next year, apparently. And Tyrone have good footballers who are not involved, who need to be involved. It's also a big year for the Donaghys too, the Cavanaghs too. But the Canavans, you've seen how much they improved last year, but they need to be selfish. So they'd be a lot more selfish because Tyrone are relying on them to be individuals in the team now, as opposed to being team players and giving balls off. They need to be taking the game by the scruff of the neck and doing what Tyrone need them to do. And if it's not, they have a hard say in championship this year. You have the whole Jim McGuinness back to Donegal. Does that bring Donegal into a Division 1 high-performing Ulster team? Not for me, it doesn't. Not in his first year anyway, unless they overcome all the injuries they had last year. You have the Mickey Hart in the Derry, as well as Derry Rugby in this year. You have Tyrone and I probably from an outsider looking in, they're probably third ranked on that side of the championship. And I just think Armagh and Ulster have a free reign to the final. And they will be well rested. They will be ready for that final this year. They'll be ready to make amends for it.
Yeah, no, look, and we've saw sides in Division 2 in the last couple of years go on to have good championship seasons, so it wouldn't surprise me if Armagh were that team this year. But yeah, look, I'm sure between now and January and obviously the summer, I'm sure it'll be a lot more to discuss, a lot more to digest, obviously, when it comes to inter-county football, make no question about it. Kevin, before we wrap things up, obviously your own app, the GA Sports Tracker app, where can people find it if they want to, I suppose, locate it? Where did I go?
Yeah, we're just on there on Twitter, mainly just GA Tracker app. You can follow us on there. There's a two-week trial. You just download it on your phone. We're going to do a few changes at the minute, trying to bring AI and stuff into it. I'm doing a lot of work with a couple of different county teams. Massive meeting next week that really, you know, praying to get over the line. If you want one team to take the app on, it's this team or their greatest rivals. That's the type of conversation that's happened. So if I got that one over the line, you would hear a lot more about the app next year. But yeah, look, it's an app there that is different from what's out there in terms of how we record data and phases as opposed to just numbers. You know, it actually tells you who's better off. Are your short kickouts working in terms of getting scores? Are your long kickouts or your long restarts working? So yeah, just download it and sure, I'd probably not be on touch. I'm doing a bit of work out at the minute in terms of providing funding and grants for clubs across Ulster here. We do a lot of work in terms of getting, you know, money to buy new gyms and stuff like that. So it's a busy time of year for that. So we'll be back on come January promoting it and trying to get clubs in for next season.
Great stuff, great stuff. Well, look, best of luck with it, Kevin. Anyway, we appreciate you jumping on. And anyone who tuned into the stream, hit the like button, subscribe. If you're listening back on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure to give the podcast a rating. And we'll speak to you all soon.
Cheers, Aaron. Thank you.